and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Our study in the subject of dispensations has taken us now into the dispensation of human government. And we've seen several things now as we've been studying the scriptures about human government. We've seen how that the human government, the dispensation, ended at the Tower of Babel, and we're going to read more about that. But human government has not stopped. God has ordained human government, but the dispensation as such, when it was established, has ended. And there's, once again, there's several things that we've seen. And right now, I'd like to look at man's sorrows in the dispensation of human government. Well, we've studied about Noah and about his sons here, but notice this, that Ham's, or Canaan's, some people believe that Canaan, Ham's son, is the one that sinned against Noah there, or with Noah. And Ham, whoever sinned with Noah or against Noah and caused the sin, caused a curse to be placed upon the descendants to become servants to their brethren, according to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis 9, 24 through 26 says, "And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him." But once again, wine is a mocker. Wine, it's wrong for people to drink wine because it causes people to do things that they would not ordinarily do. And it's wrong, especially for a saved person, to partake of any liquor that changes their attitude, that changes what they would normally be doing as saved people. And Noah was one who had gotten drunk, and he brought shame upon his family. And his younger son, or Canaan, whichever one you prefer, which was the son of Ham. Some people believe Canaan was the one the curse was pronounced upon. Well, whichever one it was, they caused shame and disgrace upon the family. And verse 25 of Genesis chapter 9 says, "And he said," this is Noah speaking, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." I believe Noah got things right with God. He knew he had done wrong, and so he had asked God's forgiveness. Now, Noah didn't do that to get saved again, in order to go to heaven. He was already saved. He did that so his fellowship would be restored with God. And that's what you and I need to do. When we do something wrong, when we sin, we need to ask God's forgiveness so that our fellowship can be restored. And once again, that's a saved person can do that. An unsaved person must first realize they're a sinner. They must call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Be willing to turn from the sin that is there in their lives. And they need to be willing to go God's way instead of their way. Well, man has a lot of sorrows in this dispensation. And we see that in Genesis chapter 11, verses 6 through 8, how that God confounded man's language. They were doing things wrong. They were trying to get to heaven without going God's way. They couldn't understand one another according to the word of God. You remember the Tower of Babel, how that God changed the speech. They couldn't understand one another. We're going to read some about that. But they couldn't understand one another, so they scattered to do what God originally told them to do. He said, "Replenish the earth." And that word replenish means to fill up. Genesis 11, verses 6 through 8 says this, "And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Now, notice if you would, let's compare that to today. In the United States, we have been flooded with people who speak a different language other than English. We've been flooded with these people who are coming in and they're speaking different languages. And it's confounding the setup or the way that this country is to be operated. It's becoming something that is like, it reminds me of the Tower of Babel, how that God had to come down. He confounded the language, that people were not going out and spreading the word. Well, could that be another reason that we're seeing this influx of people who do not speak English coming into this country? Maybe God wants us to go out further spreading the word of God. I don't know. But it seems like there's a comparison to be made here. Maybe we're just not doing the job that God wanted us to do as saved people in spreading the word, of letting other individuals know that Jesus saves. That could be it. I'm not sure. But it seems there's a comparison to be made here in this country right now in comparison with the Tower of Babel, how that God came down and confounded the language. People are confounded today because have you gone into, if you speak English, have you gone into one of the stores and you've asked for direction of where to find something and you don't understand what that person is saying? Well, that reminds me of the Tower of Babel. Well, notice this in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1. It says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth." They were to go forth, spreading the word of God, multiplying human beings, filling the earth up with people, multiplying, and telling other individuals, spreading the word of God, telling people that Jesus saves. You say, well, was that going on back then? Yes, it was. God has always had a plan. I keep reminding you of that. Jesus is the only way a person gets to heaven, even when we study the Old Testament. He is the only way. Remember, Isaiah said, a virgin would conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Well, that's Jesus Christ. And we read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 about the seed that was promised, and that's Jesus Christ. All through the Bible, we see Jesus Christ. He is the one who saves. Someone asked me one time, are there going to be any Baptists in heaven? Are there going to be any Presbyterians in heaven? Will there be any Methodists in heaven? And my answer to that is no, there will be none of those. No Baptists, no Presbyterians, no Methodists. They will not be there. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, I know that there's not going to be any denominations in heaven because we're all one in Jesus Christ. And whether you name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Methodist, or whatever, if you name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. If you've trusted him as your Lord and Savior, you're saved. But your denomination will not be there. It's going to be, there's neither bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, for we are all one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about ecumenism. I'm not talking about all these denominations coming together. I'm saying that in heaven, there will be no denominations because we'll all be one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, notice this as we get back to our study. Sometimes I get off track here, but God brings things to my mind and to my heart, and I want to share those things with you as we study the Word of God. Well, notice something else here. There was hostility and the desire for personal rulership. And this plagued men during this time that we're studying about human government, the dispensation, and especially when we get to the Tower of Babel. Man became idolatrous, governing for himself and not for God. And this has always been a problem down through history as we study mankind, that man wants to be in charge. Man wants to do everything for himself instead of depending upon God. Well, God's word says this in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 28. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Well, we know that righteousness is the way of life according to that verse. And in the pathway thereof there is no death. That's because God gives eternal life through righteousness. say, well, how do I become righteous? You become righteous through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the righteous one. And he's the one who gives us righteous life. He's the one who gives us eternal life by trusting him as Lord and Savior. He is the eternal one. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John, in John chapter 1, goes on to say that he and others beheld the glory of the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, you keep studying there, and you find out that the Word is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ from the very beginning. He is the righteous one. He is the one who gives life, and that life will never end to those people who have trusted him as Savior. And I remind you once again of Proverbs 14:12. It says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And this is what happened to those people back at the Tower of Babel. They thought they were doing right. They thought this was the way to get to God, to get to heaven, was to build this tower and to work together building something that was ungodly. The Bible is plain. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. They thought they were doing right, but the end thereof was and is. They are the ways of death. The end thereof are those people who know to do right and they do wrong. Now, God has given us something in the Word of God that helps us to understand when we have done wrong. Once again, we've studied about conscience, the dispensation of conscience. And I've made mention before that you don't follow your conscience. Don't let your conscience be your guide. Conscience will let you know when you've done wrong, but conscience cannot tell you how to correct that wrong in your life. There is only one way that you can be corrected and know how to do it, and that is through the Word of God. And I will remind you more than once, over and over again, that King James, the Bible, King James Version of the Bible, is the Word of God. It's God-breathed. There are no mistakes in the Bible, in the King James Bible. It is God's Word. We need to uphold God's Word and stay in God's Word because it leads people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The King James Bible says that the faith that we need in order to be saved, there is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way that comes, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's so many perversions out today that people don't, they're confused. They don't know what is the Word of God. They don't know what to do, because many of these perversions that you read and you go into and you study, you find that they many times leave out God. They leave out the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They leave out the love of God by sending his Son to give his life for the life of those people that he came to save. Many of these versions leave it out right in the verses that they try to let people believe that they're simply making an easier version to understand other than the King James Bible. They'll tell you that it says the same thing that the King James Bible says, but they do not. They leave out things, the important things of life, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God himself is left out in many of these versions, either in the verses themselves or in the footnotes that's written there. Well, I pray that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you're not trying to get to heaven on your own, but that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know him as your Lord and Savior. And one day, if you've done that, if you've trusted him to save you, you will see him in glory one day. Stay in the King James Bible. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. May God bless you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.